What a powerful name it is. Amen? Yes. Kevin, listen to me. Alan, thank you for that. Leading us in that praise and worship. And I know what you're talking about with the clapping. You know, they say that Baptists, you got two types. You have the happy clappies or you got the frozen chosen, right? So I don't know which you are. And I hope that doesn't go over into the message because I like amens. And I don't want any frozen chosen today. I need a few amens today. If y'all can help me with that, I would appreciate it. Let's practice. Man, you do that and we'll be here all day long. I hadn't preached in a month. I'm just forewarning you. And you know, preachers, they get a lot in them and they just got to get it out. But I'm going to try to get us out at a decent hour today. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23. And the title of my message today is The Journey of Faith. Psalms 23. Many of you can probably just recite it in your mind without even looking at your Bible. I want to read it for you now. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to come to your house and to worship your name. Father, you are worthy of all of our worship and our praise. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that we worship you in singing, we worship you with prayers, we worship you in our giving, and now we worship you by opening up your word and listening as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. As we get in your word, we ask that you'd get your word into us. Let it do a work in each and every life here today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Little more about me. I'm Susan, my wife and I, we live in Kennesaw, Georgia. I'm a Georgia native. Susan and I both are Georgia natives. Our kids are Georgia natives. Our grandkids are Georgia natives. Now, that's not that common anymore. I'm wondering, how many of you are Georgia natives here today? All right, we got a few of you guys, and you know, you don't stray too far from home. I was born in Polk County Hospital, Cedartown, Georgia. So I haven't strayed too far. Now, I've been in a lot of places. I grew up in Florida, actually, and come back home, and I'm so glad to be back. Been back for many years now. My granny and pawpaw was born in Cedartown. They was raised in Cedartown. They lived in Cedartown. They died in Cedartown. Never traveled anywhere. My pawpaw took one airplane trip in his whole life, and that was to fly down to Tampa to see us. And it was the thrill of his life. I remember I was visiting my granny one day, and we was just hanging out talking, and the phone rang. She had one of them slim lines, you know, in the kitchen, and so she got up to go answer, and I knew who she was talking to, Mabel, her neighbor, and I thought, this is going to take a while. And I noticed a bowl of peanuts on the table. So I just started eating the peanuts, and I was hungry. And while they talked, I ate her whole bowl of peanuts. I felt bad. She come back. She finally got a phone. She come back. She says, I said, "Granny, I'm so sorry. You talked so long. I ate your whole bowl of peanuts." She says, "That's okay. I done sucked all the chocolate off of them anyway." Oh, my. Another time I went to visit her and I said, "Granny, how you doing?" She says, "I'm doing fine." It was just after the first of the year. She says, "I'm doing fine." I said, "What have you been up to?" She says, "Well, I made a New Year's resolution." I'm like, "Well, Granny, what is that?" She says, "I resolved that I'm going to get in shape this year, and so I signed up for one of them fitness clubs." I said, "Okay, well, have you been yet?" "Yeah, I went to my first aerobics class." "Well, how'd it go?" She says, "Well, I got there," and she says, "I bent and I stretched and I twisted and I tugged, but by the time I got those leotards on, the class was over. That's all the jokes I'm going to tell because my wife is sitting there going, I wish he'd stop. And you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with Psalms 23. But I'll tell you this, laughter is good medicine. Good medicine. My granny and pawpaw passed away. And you know, goodbyes are not easy, are they? Whether it's someone passing away or someone moving on, goodbyes are not easy. And last week, I watched a video. I know that y'all said goodbye to a dearly beloved pastor. And no doubt it was bittersweet. Happy for Pastor Kevin on the next leg of his journey, right? But sad to see him go. Sad to see him go. Hey, listen, Susan and I can feel that more than you know. One thing I have to admit, I'm emotional, and I'm going to try to keep that in check this morning, but just at the end of June, we left a church where God was blessing and doing great things, and he really used us in a great way, and then he said, okay, time to go. Done with you here, got a new path for you. Can I tell you, that's not easy. That wasn't easy for us. It's not easy for Pastor Kevin. And I'm guessing we all here have heard the phrase next chapter just a little too much, haven't we? I don't want the next chapter. I like this chapter, right? I like this chapter. But here's the thing. The reason it has to be that way is because the life of faith is a journey. It's a journey. You know, it's interesting how people are always looking to arrive. Have you ever been there? You know, we say things like, if I could just get that job, I'd be set. And then we get that job. Oh, if I could just get a promotion, then I will have arrived. And we get the promotion. Oh, if I could just buy a new house and a new car, I'd be happy. Or if we could just have children, and on it goes. And before you know it, the time comes to where you know that thought of, if I just had that new job, I have it set. And now it's like just one more year and I can retire. The same thing that was supposed to bring you all the happiness you can't wait to get out of. We never arrive. We just never arrive. Why? Because God has us on a path. So can I give you some truth today? We will arrive when we get to eternity. That's when we'll arrive. That's truth. We never really arrive. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. We're talking about the life of faith is a journey. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now think about that. Walking is clearly an ingredient necessary for a journey, right? Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're talking about the life of faith as a journey. Listen to this. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." Does that not sound like faith? Sounds like faith. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him," and what will he do? "He shall direct your paths." And as with walking, paths are also an important part of a journey, are they not? Here's what we're doing. We're walking paths of faith. We're on a journey of faith, and it's continually moving forward. Then, of course, there's Psalms 23. You know, a more beloved psalm would be hard to find. I think the reason people love Psalm 23 so much is that it begins in a lush and a serene pasture, and it ends in a heavenly destination. That's why they love it. You know, it's often read to bring comfort to loved ones that are at the funeral home. They've lost someone, and it's often read at funerals. But today, we're not going to see this Psalms as a dying Psalms. We're going to see this as a Psalms for living. A Psalms that shows a clear picture of our faith journey. And as we begin Psalm 23, the first thing we see is the shepherd's pasture. The shepherd's pasture. And in that pasture, we see that Jesus is our personal shepherd. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You know, the psalmist King David, he could have just simply wrote it like this. "The Lord is the shepherd, and his sheep shall not want." But he used personal pronouns. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And I'd ask you today, can you say with David that the Lord is my shepherd? Is he personal to you today? Not only do we see that he's a personal shepherd, but Jesus is the good shepherd. Look at verse 2. It says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." You know, it was the shepherd's job to lead the flock to a safe place of rest where they could feed and where they could grow without fear of the attacks of wolves and bears and things like that. That was the shepherd's job, and a good shepherd would do that. And you know, talking about that green pasture for a moment, I believe that today a church can be seen as that green pasture. A place that the shepherd leads his sheep to, and we come in and we sit for a while and we rest and we feed and we grow. I love the pastor of the church. I love what I get when I come in here to be strengthened and to be renewed for the week ahead. And so he leads us into green pastures. You know, for our sake, he shepherds us. The beginning of verse 3 simply says this: "He restores my soul." Isn't that why we come here? Just get our souls restored. He restores my soul. Listen to our shepherd as he speaks to us in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't you love that word? Rest. I mean, that's one of my favorite words in the English language. I love to rest. I love to just get rest. I love to renew. And right there in those green pastures beside that still water where our souls are being restored, right there is where we want to stay, right? That's where we want to stay, right there. To not want for anything. To lie down in comfort and ease, to have our souls restored, to rest. But I want to ask you a question. What does those first 2.5 verses do to further God's redemptive plan? Nothing really. For our sakes, he shepherds us. For our sakes, he leads us to places of rest. He knows that if we're doing his business, if we're in the work of the ministry, if we're following his redemptive paths and his plan, that there's going to be times that we need to just back up and rest. And so for our sakes, he shepherds us and he gives us those times and places and moments of rest. But then we see the shepherd's path. At the rest of verse 3, it says this: "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." For his name's sake. In other words, he said, for the sake of his name, he leads us. He leads us into a faith-demanding journey. Sometimes he doesn't tell us where we're going to go next. Here's the thing, it doesn't take faith to hang out in the pasture. That doesn't take faith. But it does take faith to get on the path and walk where Jesus walks. That takes some faith. He leads us into paths of righteousness. We can't even fully know His righteousness apart from His path. You can't understand all of God's righteousness just showing up at church on Sunday. So where does that righteous path lead? Out into the world. It leads out into this world. Well, you say, why does it lead out into the world? That's a scary place. Why? It's so others can see Jesus in you. Are we not the light of the world? The city set on a hill that can't be hidden? And we're to hide it under a bushel? No, we're to go out. We're to go out on the paths of righteousness. We're to go out into the world. And I'm going to tell you this. This is not an endeavor for lazy believers. And there's a lot of them. I know there's none in this church, but there's other churches. They're full of them. I've been to a lot of churches. They're full of them. We're the light. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For our sake, He shepherds us. But for His sake, He leads us on a path. See, faith is a journey, not a destination. Let me show you some more evidence of that. Psalms 25, 4 through 5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me into your truth." Ways, path, lead. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my what? A light unto my what?" See, y'all know that already. This is already ingrained in you. Matthew 7, 14 says, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life." We must get up and leave the comfort of the pasture for the faith journey and for the path of righteousness. So where is the vision of the path today? I fear in many churches it's been lost. I wonder how many churches are really leading their flocks out into paths of righteousness to reach this world, to shine their light for Jesus. I wonder how many in our churches are truly living a journey of faith. How many are on God's path impacting the world for Christ? Too many believers have decided that this life is their destination. Too many believe that. Why? Because the righteous path looks like a dangerous journey, and let's be honest, we may not want to go there, right? Look at verses 4 and 5. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the
shadow of death."
Ooh, right? "I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Deadly valleys, dark shadows, presence of evil, strong enemies all around. This truth causes a problem for casual Christians today. Causes a big problem. They want the restoration, and they don't want the righteousness. They want the rest, but they don't want what's right. They want Christ as their Savior, but they don't want Him as their Lord. They want His divine providence, but they don't want His difficult path. But here's a secret they don't know. The righteous path, it may look like a dangerous journey, but it's really a joyful journey. And I'm going to show you that. Simple example. Look at the example of Christ when He sent out the 70. Reading from Luke 10, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves.'" I don't want to be a lamb among wolves. But this is how Jesus sent them out. Now, think about that for a minute. Think about wolves. Sharp teeth. They're fast. They're strong. Man, they can rip a lamb apart. And think about lambs for a moment. Wow. What do they got? They got no sharp teeth. They got no claws. They got no defense, no armor like an armadillo. Of course, that don't help them on the highway, does it? No defense. And he says, I'm sending you out defenseless among wolves. And you say, Lord, why would you do that? I'm going to tell you why he would do that, because he wants the glory to be his and not yours. He wants you to know who he is, not who you are. What he can do, not what you can do. But I told you that, I got you all upset. I know you don't ever want to go out of this church again. But I told you that the righteous path is really a joyful journey. And I want to show you that. When you continue that story, you see that although it was a dangerous journey, they went. Okay, Lord, you're sending us. We're a bunch of sheep. We'll go. We'll go. I'm trying to keep y'all awake now. Hanging. Y'all give me something back here. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a good time up here. A dangerous journey, but they went and they came back rejoicing. Verse 17 of that same chapter, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Man, what did those lambs learn? They learned the power of a magnificent Savior who could protect them every step of the way, no matter what they faced, no matter the danger that came, no matter the dark valley. They had a Savior that brought joy to their hearts. That's what they learned. That's why we need a righteous path. That's why sometimes it has to be a dangerous journey, because our faith will soar. Our joy will soar. Oh man, they experienced that day. The righteous path is not a dangerous journey. It's a joyful journey. It's joyful. You want to know where the real dangers are? In the pasture. They're in the pasture. You cannot stay in the comfort of the pasture. Remember, church is a pasture. So follow me on this. We think the path's too dangerous, but the real danger is not ever leaving the pasture. The shepherd knew that it was simply not good enough to just provide green pastures and still waters. He knew that wasn't it. You know why? Because if you just stayed there all the time, what would happen to the pasture? It would be devoured. The water could just dry up. I mean, they could get fat and lazy. They're just eating on the pasture all the time. They're getting fat and lazy, and they're really becoming something that God didn't want them to be. So he knew that he couldn't just leave them there all the time. This is not the destination. It's the journey. And he knew the journey is necessary for our spiritual survival. The journey is necessary. The Christian life is a journey. It's not a destination. The real blessings are in the path. That place where we're at 6 days a week, and we're here a couple of hours a week. We're here to get fed. We're here to get rest. We're here to get restored. But we got to go back out on the path, because that's where the Lord wants us. That's where he wants us to just let people see his light and his righteousness. So the real blessings are on the path. For example, the first thing we see in verse 3 is God's presence is in the path. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. He's on the path ahead of you. And can I tell you something? You can be as close to God as you want to be. Just walk closer to him on the path. But you can lag back too. You can be a straggler and you can just let him leave you behind. And many people do that. I mean, you just need to follow him. You can be as close to the Lord because his presence is on the path. Not only that, but God's protection is on the path. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why? Because we know that what we can't fight, he can fight. They come back, they says, we are so happy today because even the demons were subject to us in your name. They were so happy, and God's protection is out there on the path. God's provision is on the path. Look at verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Man, when them guys come back, their cups were running over. They couldn't wait to get back and give their testimony. When's the last time you saw a testimony meeting break out in a church? Man, I remember those days. I remember growing up in churches that people would be out on the path all week, the path of righteousness, shining their light for Jesus, and great things were happening because they was following God on the path, and he was protecting, and he was providing. And they'd come back on Sunday, and man, before the song service over, somebody would jump up and say, I just got to say a word for the Lord. They knew what it meant to be on the path. They knew what it meant to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God and to be a light in this world. This is not a destination. We're on a journey. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to calm down. I should have brought my water up here. It's getting hot. Amen. Thank you. God's provision on the path. Their cups ran over. God's promises or on the path. Look at verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can I ask you a question? How can something follow you if you're not moving? Huh? Think about that. Surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. In parentheses, that should say, as long as you're right up behind the shepherd. Man, Susan and I, our life is a bundle of joy every day because we're following the Lord and he is our shepherd. And I got to tell you that I'm sorry. I told you I got a lot in me. Y'all just be patient with me. Yesterday, Susan and I, we worked in the yard all day. I'm sure y'all know what that's like. And it was hot. And we finally come in and I said, let's just go out and get something to eat. Let's go to Texas Roadhouse. That's my favorite. And we're going there. I said, look, if it's too crowded, if people are waiting, let's just go down to Cheeseburger Bobby's. I'm hungry. I don't want to wait. We drive down to Cheeseburger Bobby's, and we get there. Wasn't many people there. That was good. And we get in and get waited on. We get up there, and Susan says, oh, I got a rewards card. Let me give you my phone number. So she gives him the phone number. He goes, oh, well, you got enough rewards that it'll pay for y'all's meal today. We're like, amen. We'll take it. We get our meal. We sit down. We're eating. Here comes somebody with a tray full of peppermints. Man, Susan loves those peppermints. That's why I think she likes going there because she knows they'll come around with it. We both get a peppermint. Free. He hadn't even left our table. And a lady comes up with a tray full of samples of frozen custard. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes, I want a sample of frozen custard. Thank you. And we're almost done. We're so full of candy and custard and all this. And they give you big portions. We had like three chicken things left. Chicken strips, that's what they're called. We had like three chicken strips left. We thought, we'll take these home. I said, you know, all we need now is for them to come out with some of them French fries. They used to come around with a big bowl and they'd say, you want some more fries? As I grabbed the bag and we was about to get up, the guy comes up. Would y'all like some more fries? I'm like, would you put them in my to-go? He says, yeah, open it up. I'll fill it up. And man, they dumped hot steaming fries on there. And I told Susan, I said, isn't that just like the Lord? Man, just when you least expect it, he's just saying, hey, I love you. I love you. Why? Because you're following that righteous path, you're finding the joy of the journey. It's in the little things. Listen, we don't need to arrive. We need to just experience the joy of the Lord in the journey of life. Amen. I'll amen myself on that. One more promise. I'm going to try to get done here. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that's destination. That's the destination. That's the green pastures. That's the still waters. That's the restoration of our souls. Faith is a journey of following the shepherd on the path of righteousness all the way to heaven. And once we reach heaven, we'll no longer need faith. That's how we'll know that our journey of faith has ended. That's how we'll know that we're at our destination. You know, Pastor Kevin's been called out to a new leg of his faith journey. This church is beginning a new leg of their faith journey. This is how it works, folks. We come together. God takes one this way. God takes another that way. I can't tell you how many people have come in and out of our lives. And we were blessed that they came. And we were sad when they went. But the journey continues. And more wonderful people come along. And there's more joy in the journey. And so this is the reality of life. And this is why it has to be this way. That's why it has to be this way. I think of the young pastor, the church where we were just serving, First Baptist Riverdale, and we finished there. We finished our work there. We were serving as transitional pastorate there. And I think about the young man that they called for their pastor. And he and his wife and his little boy, moving from Tennessee, they had to sell their house, and they had to come down to Riverdale and find a house. And you know what they're having to do? They're in the process of moving, and they're having to leave all their family and all their friends behind. It's where God's called them on the journey. And you know what? One thing I'm sure of is they're going to be blessed. It's not going to be easy. It's never easy to come into a church you've never been in before and have to stand every week and preach and then have to shepherd the flock. None of that's easy. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be so much joy in their journey. Why? Because they're obedient to the Lord. And when we find the path God wants us on, and when we walk step by step behind Him, and when we're living in obedience to the Lord, there's no greater joy in life. That's the truth of this righteous path that He has us on. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to struggle. He wants us to experience the greatest joy of life, and that is, how close can we get to Him? The closer we get to Him, the more joy life will hold. The closer we get to Him. Why? Because He's our protector. He's our provider. He's the one that makes all the promises. And so I just ask you one question. Do you know the shepherd? You know, although the future's uncertain, have you put your faith in Him? Listen to what Jesus says in John 10, 26 through 28, talking about knowing the shepherd. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "But you do not believe because you are not of My sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hands." Don't you want to know the shepherd today? Don't you want to know that one that can lead you through this life? It can get hard. It can get difficult. But as long as you can see the shepherd in your life, you know, I'm going to make it. I've been this way before, and He brought us through, and He'll bring us through again. There's nothing like having a shepherd of your soul. There's nothing like having the Lord in your life. Do you know the shepherd today? Do you want to hear His voice? Do you want to follow His leading? Do you want His provision? Do you want His protection? If you do, then He needs to hear your voice. Listen to this verse, and I'm done. Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I'd ask you this. Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Have you ever asked Him to be the shepherd of your life? I see some of you shaking your head yes, and if that's you, then He's got a righteous path you're supposed to be on. So then the question is, am I following His path? Or have I settled for just thinking I've arrived in this life? The world is dying and going to hell without God. And He needs us to shine our lights brighter than ever before. But I want to talk to that one today that's never made Jesus your shepherd. And if that's you today, all He needs to do is hear your voice. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be clean enough. You don't have to be smart enough. You don't have to go to seminary. There's nothing that you can do. All you got to do is put your faith in Him and believe. Call on His name and He'll save you. I just ask everyone to bow your heads with me. I want them to come with a song, and I want to just lead in a simple prayer of faith for anyone here that might be wanting to make that decision today. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know now You're the shepherd, and I want to hear Your voice, and I want You to lead my life, and I want You to be in my life, and so I call on You today. I lift my voice to You today, and I ask You to come into my heart and save me. I just want to ask You to forgive my sins and remove my shame and make me Your child. I invite You into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would say to you that if you prayed that prayer along with me, I'm going to stand down front here for a moment. I'd love for you to just step out and come and let me know that. And then I could put some materials in your hands to help you to begin to grow in your Christian faith. We can exchange numbers. We can stay in touch. But I realize for many of you, you're Christians already, but maybe you have that question now. Am I really on the path the Lord wants me on? Am I really going on the journey? No, maybe you've sat on the sideline way too long, and maybe God's convicted you today that you got to get up and get moving again, because arriving is not just showing up on Sunday. And you may want to come to this altar, these steps. We can make them an altar and come and pray and just pour your heart out to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to rededicate my life to You. Whatever way that God's asking you to respond today, you may want to just stand and sing with them songs of praise and just worship the Lord, because you know that your life is filled with joy because of Him. Just stand with us. However you need to respond, I invite you to come.